Once again, I appreciate the good songs. As I was pulling into the parking lot coming in here tonight, Brother Paul Moore had already got here, and he was coming across the parking lot, walking up there almost to the ramp, and I started blowing my horn at him. And he turned around and come back, and I asked him, I said, "You got your guitar with you tonight?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I've got it." I said, "Well, I'll just go get you to go ahead and take it in where it wouldn't be raining when we get you to go out to get it." So we're glad to have Brother Paul with us tonight from New Harmony, and he's going to sing us a special, so y'all pray for him.
In the room, she went to bed. Friday afternoon, her mom thinks, you know, she should be up and moving around now. She went in her room and she was already cold. Died in her sleep. Autopsy showed she had an enlarged heart. That was it. She never saw, showed any signs of it. She was athletic. She played sports. I watched her play ball from the time she was born up through. So if you're here tonight, think you have plenty of time, and you think it has to be a tornado, if you think it has to be a car wreck, if you think it has to be something real horrible, it doesn't.
Amen.
You could just lay down and not wake up.
Yeah.
I want you to think about that. You're not guaranteed another year. You're not guaranteed another month. You're not guaranteed another week, day, minute, or second.
Yes.
And I want you to take that home. And I want you to really think about that. And if nothing else comes out of me losing a brother and a granddaughter, I want it to come out that this can help you.
Amen.
Yeah.
At home. But please, think about this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Paul, for singing for us and the words that you shared with us. At this time, we're going to turn the service back over to Brother Jeremy. Y'all pray for the brother. Y'all pray for him. Been looking forward to it.
Well, I don't really know how you follow that one. Thankful to Brother Goodside. We obviously need to be prayerful for he and his family as they go through some hard times. You know, as we were up here praying earlier, I thought, you know, I'm sure, like most of you guys, probably a little disappointed we couldn't have the tent revival outside. There's something just feel a little more liberty sometimes maybe outside, which shouldn't be the case, but sometimes there's just a little different feeling, you know, we have a good old-fashioned tent revival. But I was thinking, you know, the reason that we came in here this evening was for protection, right? Protection from the elements. Just in case it was raining, it was thundering, it was storming. You know, but really and truly, these walls offer us no protection. Right? Yeah. It's a false sense of security.
Yes. Right.
That we get inside a building.
Yep.
Or inside our car, or even a bomb shelter for that matter, right?
Yeah.
It's a false sense of security that we get. But those of us that know the Lord can be secure wherever we are.
Amen.
We have a sense of security that is not false. A sense of security that is absolute.
Amen.
A sense of security that is somewhat unexplainable. But if you don't know the Lord here this evening, don't let these walls fool you.
Amen.
You know, don't let you feel safe and secure inside of these walls just because we're inside. Because as Brother Buddy said, you know, one of these days the Lord is coming back. And there is nothing that's going to protect you from that.
Amen.
If you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if He hasn't put a peace deep down inside of your soul, I'm sure you've heard some testimonies this week and some wonderful ones. And if you don't have one of those, if you're like me when I started going to faith and you don't really understand what that means. When I started coming to faith, I was about 18 years old, started going to faith with my wife who I was dating at the time. I didn't really know what to make of these testimonies of these people. Many of you have heard of my testimony before, but I usually say I remember thinking these people are crazy. Because my life, I had been raised at you know, by a wonderful, wonderful a place that talked about true salvation. So I didn't understand what these people were talking about when they were talking about this time and this place. I didn't understand what they meant about this turmoil and this peace. But as everyone always tells their children, you'll just know.
Amen.
You'll just know. And if you don't know this evening, I would beg you to know, to come to the Lord and lay everything you have at His feet, realizing that you truly have nothing.
Yeah, right. Yes.
But lay it all there and He'll grant you that peace.
Yeah.
Take a drink of that living water that we talked about last night. You know, this altar is open. It's open for the saved. If you have a need, most of all, it's open for the lost, because I know you have a need.
Yeah.
If you're lost and undone, you have a need. And this altar is as good of a place as any to find one. There's no saving power in it. But I promise you, there's people here that'll pray for you. There's an altar here. There's plenty of Kleenex. But this is between you and the Lord.
Amen.
I can't tell you you're saved. Brother Miller can't tell you're saved. Brother Moran's been preaching a long, long time, but he can't tell you you're saved either. Only the Lord can.
Amen.
If you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to start in the 14th verse, and this is a very, very popular reading lesson. Anyone that's been in church too long, I'm sure, has heard this story. But the Lord put this on my heart, so we'll just follow what He has.
Amen.
You know, it's always interesting how when I sit down to study and I'm meditating and talking to the Lord, how He can take me from one thing to another to another. But when I start to step away from the one that He wants me to be on, He keeps bringing me back. And this is where He brought me back to. So we're going to start in Matthew 25:14. We're going to read through about the 34th verse here. Maybe just a hair earlier. We'll see where it takes us. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every his set took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Listen to this. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside him. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury.
Yes.
Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath.
Yes.
And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're actually going to finish our reading lesson right there. So this is obviously the story of the servants and the talents. And if I had to title my message this evening, the message that the Lord wants me to bring, it would be, Who do you serve?
Amen.
Who do you serve? This is a question for each and every one of us. I hope this is a message that those that are lost and those that are saved alike gather something from.
Amen.
The first thing that I want to say is that in order to be a servant of the Lord, you have to know Him first.
Amen.
I think sometimes in our world there is a thought that just because you you use the name of Jesus, or you walk around with a bracelet on your wrist that has a saying, or just because you listen to Christian music on the radio, that you're serving the Lord. Just because you're doing nice things. Now, the Lord wants us, obviously, to do good things. He wants us to help the poor.
Amen.
You know, he wants us to give back to our communities. He wants us to help others that are around us, help those that are sick, help those that are in need. But none of these things saves anyone.
Amen.
You must know the Lord before you can serve Him. Like I said, I think sometimes in our world there is a mistake there. There must be first, right? In order for me to know Brother Miller, I have to have a first meeting with him, right? An introduction to him. And the Lord is the same way. We're not born and grow up going throughout our lives and just know the Lord. We have to have a meeting with Him, a first meeting.
Amen.
We have to be saved. Right? We go through a time of turmoil and strife. We go through a time of repentance. We go through a moment where He grants us peace.
Yeah.
A time where He grants us that certainty that He has washed away our sin. See, that's our first meeting, really, with the Lord. The first time that we truly talked with Him. And this has to occur before we can serve the Lord.
Amen.
We can't be a servant without a first meeting, without knowing the Lord. We must have a salvation experience. As you all know, the Scripture says multiple times that, you know, we're born sinners. We are born in need of a Savior. We are born in need of a Redeemer. Now, as we're young, thank goodness the Lord offers His protection over us. But there comes a day if we grow up, if we reach that time, if we get big enough, that we have this separation. No longer are we offered that protection. We are born sinners. We are born wicked. You know, the world wants everyone to think that we are born as good people.
Amen.
We want to think that we're born just being happy and go-lucky and wanting to help everybody and being good. Right? The world wants us to think that we are born good. And that's a great story for the world to tell, but those of us that know the Lord and those of us that know Scripture realize that is just one of the false teachings that the world teaches each and every day. If we look throughout the Scriptures, we realize that we are born sinners. When we think about God, we think about His kingdom. One of the ways I was thinking about it as I meditated was a big city with a big wall around it. You got the king inside. You got all the servants inside. And then you've got folks on the outside. Now you can try to break down the gate, but there's no way to go in to the kingdom. There's no way to become a citizen. There's no way to become a servant until the gate is open.
Amen.
There's no way to get in until the gate is open. You know, we don't accept Christ. Christ accepts us.
Amen.
When we get to the point where we have humbled ourselves before Him, then He will open up the gate and let us in.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that on November 28, 2006, almost 10 years ago, the Lord let me in. And I had been an outsider. For a long, long time, I didn't realize I was an outsider. I'm thankful to God's people and for their testimonies that were one of the ways that was a big help to me to realize that I was an outsider. I'm thankful to the Spirit of the Lord and for His Scripture, but I'm also thankful for the testimonies of God's people. And I'm thankful for the prayers of God's people. Now, that didn't save me, but it sure helped me. In order to serve the Lord, you have to be a citizen. You have to be inside the walls of His kingdom. You know, the Pharisees wanted to focus so much on the law and keeping the law and doing the good works. What they didn't realize is none of that saved anybody. None of that ever saved anybody. As Brother Carter preached last night, that, you know, it wasn't the blood of bulls and goats, as Scripture says. It is the Son Jesus, the Lord's Son Jesus. The Pharisees wanted to always focus on works and the law, but they missed what it was truly about. Right? Christ was there in their midst, walking around with them, walking and talking with them. And they missed Him. They didn't realize it wasn't the law, it was a relationship with the Lord that saved you, that made you a citizen, that allowed you to serve. So if you're here this evening and you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a time and place, if you don't have a time where the Lord spoke peace to your heart, where he lifted that heavy burden off your soul, if you haven't taken a drink of that living water, I would pray that you would find that this evening. So that then you could start to the Lord. Now those of us that have been saved, the question I pose to you is, who do you serve? As we know from Scripture, you know, once we are saved, no one can take that away. The Lord puts something deep down inside of us that can't be taken away. We are sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. Right? We are sealed with that promise of eternal life, and I'm so thankful for that. But sometimes I think we use that as an excuse not to serve. So my question for those of us that have been saved is, who do you serve? Again, like was preached last night, we can't lose it, but we can sure lose the joy of our salvation, right? We can lose the joy. We can need to be renewed. We can yearn for our spirit to be renewed by the Lord, even those of us that have been saved. You know, no one can take away our citizenship. No one can take away my salvation experience. When I go in the grave, no matter whether that is tomorrow or whether that's 100 years from now, I will be a child of the King.
Amen.
Amen.
But I hope I'm also a good servant to the King. I was also thinking about, you know, the kingdom that we were talking about, this big, great, walled city, right? So we've got the King, we've got His servants and citizens on the inside, and we've got the outsiders, right? Well, those of us that are inside the kingdom are citizens, again, and no one can take that away from us, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're working for the Lord in His kingdom. I was thinking about somebody that does construction. So let's say the King says, I want you to go out, and I want you to build some houses inside our walls for our citizens, right? So that guy's been hired by the King. That guy's a citizen of this kingdom. And he's sent out by the King to do some work. So he and all his buddies, they go out, and they're going to build him a house. He's just going to sit down. And the other 9 people that he's with are just building away. Now, he's still got all the benefits. He's still getting paid his hourly wage. He's still got his insurance. He's still got his 401k. But it doesn't mean he's working for the King, right? So just because we're a citizen doesn't mean we're truly serving the Lord like He wants us to. Again, we're not going to lose our salvation, but are we truly working for Him? You know, Matthew says, you know, you can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve the Lord and serve ourselves and serve the world at the same time.
Amen.
We can only serve one. Again, this doesn't discount our salvation. This doesn't take it away. But the Lord has called us to be His servants. He sent His Son down into the world to serve Him, to be crucified for our sin. But then He went back up to be with His Father. And now He depends on us to be His servants. He has put us here to spread His message and tell others about what He's done for us. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we see the Israelites, as they go, their faith waxes and wanes. You know, we see the ebb and flow of their faithfulness to the Lord. Now, they were still the Israelites. They were still the chosen people. But we see their faith wax and wane. And sometimes I think when we examine our own lives, we will see those same cycles. Some days we're a pretty good servant. Other days we're sitting down letting everybody else serve. Letting everybody else build that house for the Lord, right? So tonight I would ask you, who do you serve? If you don't know the Lord, I would beg you to find Him so that you can begin to serve Him. And if you do know the Lord, I would beg you to serve Him as well. Let us put Him first in our lives and look to Him for guidance. And when He provides it, let us listen. When He gives us that road map and that GPS about where He wants us to go, let us listen to what He tells us.
Amen.
I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'm a little stubborn. And I ask the Lord, I say, surely not that, Lord. Pray for me. I will pray for you, and let's all serve the King, our Savior, our Redeemer. Now, there's never anything that we could do on this earth that could ever truly be deserving of that salvation and His grace. But He calls us to work for Him each and every day. He is the mark that we're looking to. He is the mark. I've talked about this at Faith a few times. Sometimes we look for our mark to be just above the mark of the world. Oh, we're here. The world's here. Okay, we're pretty good. But I tell you what, Christ is here. And He is the mark that we're to look to. He is the mark that we're to strive to be.
Amen.
That's all the Lord's given me. I'm going to sit down and ask that you just continue to be in prayerful for this service, prayerful for all those here. Again, this altar is always open. We're going to let Brother Rick get us a song together. And if you're here and you don't know the Lord, then you have a need. Please feel free to come forward and search for Him. And if you do know the Lord and you have a need that you want to bring before Him, feel free. This altar is open for you as well.
Number 183.
I hear my Savior calling.
Appreciate the good message.
Amen.
You know, are we really willing to serve the Lord? We that are saved, enjoy the song selection that Brother Ricky picked out, "Where He Leads, I Will Follow." Will we? If He lays something up on your heart to do, will you really follow Him? Sometimes we're guilty of quenching the spirit. Sometimes He lays things up on our hearts so many times, and we'll just stand back there and say nothing, do nothing. You know, He might be just wanting you to say a few words. He might be wanting you to just go give somebody a hug. And a lot of times we don't do it. You know, there's times that I have thoughts and everything that the Lord seems like He's laid up on my heart, you know. And I've heard other people say this too, so you can't tell me it ain't the Lord. But He lays something up on my heart, and I'll stand there and I'll think about it and think about it and think about it, and I just won't never step forward, Brother Jeremy, and take that step to serve Him. But you know what? Somebody sitting right there beside me or standing beside me or behind me or something, He lays it on them and they do it. And they receive a blessing.
Yeah.
They do. They receive the blessing. And I just feel like I've been beat with a stick.
Yeah.
When I don't follow Him. And I'm guilty of it. And I think probably, well, we're carnal. We got the flesh. And I think every one of us at some time or another has probably been in the same situation.
Yeah,
are we going to be the servants that we need to be? I know I come up short, and I appreciate the message, Brother Jeremy.
Yeah,
and I believe Dawson's got his head down back there seeking the Lord, and I feel like we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Pray for him. And I look around, I see most of God's people, those that have stood and have given a testimony at some time or another. But I don't know all of your hearts. But the Lord does. And the Lord knows if you've truly been saved.
Amen.
You can lie to us. You can fib to us. But I tell you what, you can't lie to the Lord.
Amen.
And I know what, you can't really lie to yourself because you know the truth the whole time. You need the Lord, you've never been saved, seek after Him till you find Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We can gather back there around Dawson, some of them. If you want to, you can come to the altar, but find you a place, wherever it might be. If you have to go outside to get close to the Lord, go outside. But find you a special place where you can call upon the Lord. I know some of you got that special place, and I saw Brother Damon, Joseph's got a place here in this church that is special to him. If you need to get to that place to get in touch with the Lord, find it. Get to it.
Most kind and heavenly, gracious Father, Lord, once again, let's bow our heads before you.